Today for our sermon, we're going to continue our sermon series on the book of Ephesians. Before I get into the second chapter of Ephesians, I wanted to take just a step back to give you the kind of big picture of where we've been in our sermon series, what we've been talking about, and what we'll be talking about in the future. So last fall, we started and we looked at community. That was one of our big values here at Trinity, is we wanted to communicate that value and then start putting that into practice. And so you've been seeing some of those things, some of those efforts, like Dan just talked about, after the service, growth groups, different community events. We want that to be growing, and I feel like we're doing that. We want that to continue. So that's kind of a theme that goes through the rest of our sermon series. We then took a look at fear and anxiety, a big issue that all of us deal with in our culture, fear and anxiety. And community was one of those big weapons against that, of understanding that you're not alone, understanding that you don't go through this life just all by yourself and you're the only one that's dealing with this issue. It's something that we can come together and say, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with this, let's help each other out. And then for Advent, we looked at the lectionary and we looked at some of the stories of Jesus' birth and things that went around with that. And then now we're looking at the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is written by Paul, the church in Ephesus, and it has a lot of theology in there, and some of the main theology in there is about identity, meaning who we are as followers of Christ. Who are we? What does it mean? And we'll delve into that a little bit. So we'll pick up that theme of identity. And then starting in Lent, which will start in mid-February, we'll have a seven-week sermon series on the identity of Christ. And so with Lent, we're kind of looking forward to Easter. We wanted that time to be 100%, let's focus on Jesus. Who was Jesus? What marked his identity? And then after Lent, we're going to kind of springboard off of Christ's identity onto our identity. We wanted to cover Christ's identity first because it's through Christ that we understand more of our identity. So we don't understand Christ's identity so we can understand our own. And so that takes us through the first half of this year. And that's the path we're going. We want to understand our community together and understand our community in terms of what is the church and who are we as followers of Christ. So that's the trajectory there of where we're going. And we'll see some of that today in our sermon. And before I start reading Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to take just a total 180, and I'm going to talk about zombies. And zombies and zombie movies and TV shows are pretty popular these days. Maybe you've seen a few of those. And really what a zombie is something that's dead, but it's still walking around. And usually they're searching for some sort of brains to eat or something like that. And it was really interesting. A few years ago, I read an article in a magazine. This was a national magazine that highlighted a fitness group here in St. Charles that was called Zombie Fit. And so it was an exercise group designed for the zombie apocalypse. And so they worked on cardio and climbing buildings and parkour and things like that, if you know what that is. And so it was a group that was here in St. Charles that was preparing themselves physically for the zombie apocalypse called Zombie Fit. It may still be around. I don't know if they're still running. You should check it out if you're looking for a new exercise program. And while we're on the topic of zombies, I just to lighten the mood, I have two zombie jokes for you. So the first one is, what did the zombie tell his date? I just love a woman with brains. And what do vegetarian zombies eat? Grains. So the reason I'm talking about zombies is today when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, we have this idea of being dead in our sin. But being dead in our sin, we're still walking around. So this is a picture of us before the work of Christ transforms us. That we're zombies. We're walking through our life and we're kind of ugly and it doesn't quite make sense and we're kind of focused on the wrong things. And we're still walking around, but we really don't have that life inside of us. And so we're zombies. And sometimes we use that phrase to describe ourselves, that maybe you stayed up really late the night before, or it's a Monday morning, or you hadn't had your coffee yet, and you describe yourself as a zombie. that you're going through, but there's like no thought to it. And you can't interact with anybody, and it's just, you're just going through the motions. You're a zombie. And so let's take a look at Ephesians, and you'll hear what I'm talking about with this dead in trespasses and sin. So this is Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll read verses 1 through 10. "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so we see this picture of being dead in trespasses, but still walking around and following these wrong things and becoming children of wrath and disobedience. But in the midst of being that way, while we were still like that, while we were still zombie-like, through grace and through power of Christ, we're made alive. So imagine that. Imagine just picturing your everyday, ordinary zombie who's searching for brains, and all of a sudden, they're made alive. They're no longer a zombie. They're a normal person. That's a picture of what it means when you accept Christ, when you start believing. That's the transformation we talk about. It's from death to life. Something that was dead and walking around now has life and has purpose and has beauty and has all these long list of things that we would associate with being alive. And the beautiful part about this passage is it doesn't end there. We're made alive, but then it goes a step further that we're then seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's a place of honor. So God loves us so much. Not only does he see us in our being dead and in this bad spot, but he says, "I'm going to make you alive, and then I'm going to seat you with me in Christ." That's how much God loves you. That you're seated with him. And then that's a position of authority. And we'll talk a lot more about that when we talk about identity. But being seated in Christ, that through Christ Jesus, we have power and authority. That's reflected in being with God in the throne, in the heavenly places. And then we have the famous verse here, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." It's just a reminder, once again, it's not by anything that you did. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't do so many good works that outdo the bad works to make it work. It's only by grace through faith. It's God's grace towards us and our faith. And the beautiful part here is that we continue to walk. So the first part of these verses has us dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And then in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we continue to walk, but instead of walking in trespasses and sins, we then walk in the works that God has created for us. We get to walk in those. So God created these things beforehand that we get to walk in them. So we get to be alive walking in the gifts and the good works that God has for us. And then Ephesians continues to chapter 2, so we'll read verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what was called the circumcision, which was made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access to one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And so here you have Paul, he's talking to the Gentiles, and Gentile is just a word to describe anyone who isn't Jewish. And so you had, in the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people. You have Jesus, who was Jewish and came to the Jews. But then you have this spreading out, where it's no longer just for the Jews, it's also for the Gentiles. And so it talks here about the wall of hostility. It gets broken down. And that's broken down by the blood of Jesus. So the work that Jesus did said, these barriers that we put up between nations and between people groups is gone. These barriers that are man-made, gone through the blood of Jesus. And then these people come together. So you have Jews and Gentiles, people from different nations, people from different backgrounds, maybe was practicing different religions beforehand, and they come together, and that becomes a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That becomes a holy temple in the Lord. And so you see this mismatch of these, you know, kind of a awkward group of people, and you think, how are they going to do anything? But really, by design, that's what the church looks like. By design, the church is a random set of people put together who may only have the one thing of, but they love God. That may be the only thing they have in common, but that creates a church. And it's almost by design. And Dan talked about the disciples. Jesus himself, when he's creating people to follow him, it's this weird set of people that you think, how is this going to work? This looks like a group of people that are going to fight and harm each other, and there's no way they're going to complete this mission that Jesus has for them. But they do. And part of that is because they had different backgrounds. They were different people with different giftings. So that's the picture of the church. So often we want to create barriers and say, well, I just want to be with by people that are kind of like me, maybe my same age, have the same interests, same political interests, and we kind of create these boundaries and say, this is my group of people. This is what I want my church to look like. But really, by design, the church is supposed to be multicultural. It's supposed to be different ages. It's supposed to be different people from different backgrounds coming together. Because the church is for Christ. And he broke down those walls. And so it shouldn't be our job to put those walls back up. And so when we look at the opportunities we have as a church for community, we want to be building community. That building community piece isn't just for people who are just like you. And one of the beauties of community is that we have a lot of different groups of people here that you get to understand and know and learn from. And they can help you out and you can help them out. That's the whole point of community. We don't all have the same gifts, skills, talents. That's what we have with our growth groups. You have an opportunity to learn from people who may be different from who you are. With helping at Lazarus' house, you have an opportunity to minister to people who may be slightly different than you. La Vigna, you have an opportunity here to minister to a congregation that loves Jesus as much as you do, but maybe you don't share the same language. Ask Henry. That doesn't stop you, does it? and it won't stop you either. That language is a barrier, but it's not a barrier we can't overcome. And that's the church. That's a picture of the church, that we come together. And so we were dead in sin. Christ saved us. It's by grace through faith that happens. We come together being alive in Christ as different people, but that's what makes up the church. And it's the Holy Spirit. So some of the visions we talked about today is the tidal wave coming in, the Holy Spirit. That's what helps us do that. That's what this verse says, that in him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And so it's the Spirit that helps us. That in our own devices, we tend to create those barriers for ourselves. But it's through the Spirit that we can continue to break those down and build community and build our church together. Please rise. And Celeste, you had that vision. I'll go ahead and read that. That Celeste had a vision that kind of was a continuation of the vision before by Katie. So we have this tidal wave coming through. You have the Holy Spirit touching each one of us. Jesus opened the back door and came in, and a strong, colorful wave of water went through the room. Confirmation that Jesus does seek after us in the power of the Holy Spirit. After the colorful wave burst into the room, every person prayed for Jesus to please come close to them. There was an angel of our Lord that dabbed each of us with a white linen towel around our hearts to remove any excess moisture. Jesus gently opened our hearts one at a time and anointed them deep inside with a golden oil. He gently closed our hearts back up. Then with a blue ink pen, Jesus inscribed on the outer layer of our hearts personal words of love that would remain there forever. That the Holy Spirit is in this room, and that's the Holy Spirit that allows us to be changed. And so you see here about anointing our hearts, that so hardness of hearts, that oil softens it. Barriers being created. Water has a way of just kind of washing barriers away. And we see that with baptism. It's kind of a washing away of the old and bringing in of the new. That's what the Holy Spirit can do for us. And so, like Katie said before, that if you want more of this, if you want more of this Holy Spirit, you feel like, man, I need to be washed new. I need that kind of anointing of my heart to happen. That's what this ministry time is for, that we have people who would love so much to pray for you, to pray for these things to happen. And so ministry team, come forward. I want to give...
Since I walked into the church today, it's been a great song about the great heavens. A lot of us don't forget. Sometimes we don't forget about our anger. Sometimes we don't forgive. Anything in regards to that, forget it. Give it to God. And God only, because he's the only one that fits in here. And it could be a divorce, sadness, anything. Forget it. Because God is Almighty. And he's asking you just to get prayer for to forget this stuff. Which I'm also going to compare myself to. What he says, I can't can't forgive you what you do yourself. And if I don't forgive her, then how am I going to be forgiven? So,
yeah, perfect. Thank you, Patrick. So we have ministry team up here. Please get prayer. And we also have our soup Sunday downstairs, so make sure you make your way down there after you've received your prayer. So go in the grace and mercy and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.